For me to Joshua chapter number 7. Joshua chapter number 7. And I want to just give you something this morning that the Lord has laid on my heart. And we're back in the Joshua right now. We bounce around, do whatever the Lord wants us to do, and then we just try to settle down. Amen? Joshua chapter number 7. And I want to give you what the Lord's laid on my heart for Joshua 7. And it's this: don't stop praying. That's all I got this morning. Don't stop praying. Do you know how many people I talk to in a weekly time, Christians, that don't pray? Don't let it catch you off guard, because you may be one of them. When you get thinking about how much you really pray, you may be one of them that don't really pray. Or you pray amiss. Or you pray what you want. Or God help me, give me. And it's not really prayer. It's more of a one-way street. Joshua here, you're going to find, they just defeated Jericho. And Joshua is living off yesterday's victory. And he's fixing to realize today's defeat. This church will never survive on years in the past victories. They're in the past, and that's where they stay. We got to live for today's victories in Christ Jesus. And today I want to tell you, don't stop praying. And I want to show you where a man of God did not pray and what happened. If you have your Bibles, Joshua chapter number 7, verse number 1. Joshua 7, verse number 1. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Joshua 7, verse number 1, the Bible says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebediah, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father God, as we bow in your presence, Lord, we love you and we thank you that there is room in our Father's house this morning. Lord, I thank you that Jesus has went to prepare a place and going to come again and receive us one day, that we may go live with eternity with him. Lord, I'm asking you right now to guard my throat, guard my thoughts. Let me preach under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you once again to do what I can't do. Father, I'm in over my head. And Lord, I need the Holy Ghost to speak this morning. Father, I love you, I praise you, and I glorify you. If there's one in here this morning that has stopped praying, has already given up, have no hope, Father, I pray this morning you speak to their spirit in a mighty way. Lord, I pray for that prayer warrior that is sitting here right now. Lord, I pray they don't quit praying. Lord, I pray that you continue to pour into them. Father, we love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. As we come today and we look here in Joshua chapter number 7 and verse number 1, Joshua is unaware. Listen to me this morning. Joshua is unaware of the problem that's among his people. Joshua is unaware. Most of the time, the men of God is unaware when there's a problem in the house of God. But this morning, Joshua is unaware of the problem that's among his people. He is unaware that the fellowship has been broken between God and the children of Israel. The fellowship has been broken, not the relationship. But the fellowship has been broken between God and the children of Israel, that fellowship. All he knows is that they've had a great victory at Jericho. All he knows is he's on the mountaintop right now. All he knows is life is good. All he knows that everything is going to his way. But I want you to know, no matter how great of a victory we have here, we must never get comfortable and stop praying or consulting God on every move we make. Child of God, he's got to be the masterpiece of your life. He has to be the centerpiece of your life. He has to have total control of your life. You say, "Preacher, what good does praying do? What good does praying do? What good does praying do? God's going to do it anyway." I beg to differ. You can pray and get a hold of heaven. You can pray and ask God. You can pray and talk to God. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So I say to you this morning, don't stop praying. You say, preacher, if I stop praying, what's going to happen? If I stop praying, what's going to go on? Let me show you a few things when Joshua, the man of God, quit praying. Before I do, I ask you, daddies, when was the last time you prayed for your marriage? Daddies, when was the last time you prayed for your children? Daddies, when was the last time you prayed for your home? Daddies, when was the last time your kids heard you pray? Daddies, when was the last time you was the man of God? You wasn't only the provider that worked 40 hours a week and plus, but you was the priest. You was the priest, you was the provider, and you was the protector of that home. Folks, I want you to know there's not a daddy in here that wouldn't provide and put meal on that table, put food in them bellies, and do what they need to do for their children. But I ask you, when was the last time you petitioned the throne room of heaven for your family? And you said, God, put a hedge around us. Put a hedge around us that old Satan can't come in. Folks, I want you to know that when you stop praying, number one, problems will arise. If you look in verse number one, the Bible says that Achan took the accursed thing. I see the problem arise and the accursed thing had been taken. God had told them when they went into Jericho, don't take anything that was left. Everything that was in Jericho, you don't take it. You don't take it with you. And you know what Achan did? He seen the Babylonian garments. He seen the silver. He seen the gold. And it was pleasant to the eye. And you know what he did? He took it and he hid it. He hid it in his home. He hid it in his house. And the problem arise. Can I say to you, when you do what God has called you not to do, not only with the problems arise, but the anger of the Lord is kindled. Look in verse number 2:1, if you will. It said that he took of the trespass thing. He took into his bosom what he did not need. And here's what he did. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. I see when the problems arise, one man took of the accursed thing and the anger of the Lord was kindled. And Joshua was unaware. Why was Joshua unaware? Because he hadn't been talking to God. If Joshua had been talking to God, God would have let him know of the accursed thing. God would have let him know of what was going on. God would have let him in. Men of God, women of God, if you'll talk to God, God will let you in on what he's doing. Can I get an amen? If you don't talk to God, don't expect for God to let you in on what he's doing in his kingdom. I want you to know they had got overconfident. And I wrote this down, overconfidence kills. It'll kill a church in a hurry. Hey, we've always did it this way. God had blessed us here and he'll bless us in the future. You listen to your preacher this morning. Just because he's blessed today, if we get out of the will of God, don't expect blessings tomorrow. He'll bless obedience. God never blesses a mess. I see number one, when Joshua stopped praying, number one, problems arose. But I see not only problems arose, but pride arose in Joshua's life. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 2 and verse number 3, what the Bible says. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. I see not only a problem, but I see pride. You say, preacher, what is that pride? Hey, here's what happened to Joshua. Here's the pride in his life. If you go back before they went into Jericho, he sent spies out and you knew their spies. You knew their names. You knew their daddy's and mama's names. You knew what was going on. You knew about them. And they went and they prayed and they seeked out the land. Here, what he did, he said, go see what we can do. Not one time did I see Joshua praying. Not one time did I see him talking to God. And I want you to know there's a problem right there, because he don't know that there's sin in the camp. He don't know what's fixing to take place. And I see that there's a problem and I see their pride. You say, preacher, I don't have pride in my life. Let me give you a few things that'll show that there's pride in your life. One is this: we got this, we have done it before. That is pride. We've got this. We've done it before. We've done defeated big Jericho. Little Ai is no match for us. Here's another thing that'll show you when there's pride in your life. Ain't no need to pray. I wrote that down. There ain't no need to pray about it. Why pray about it? We don't need God on this. We got this. We've done it before. Ain't no need to pray. Here's another to let you know pride's in your life. Let's just wing it. We've winged it before. We wing it again. Folks, can I say to you, when Samson was there and he was with Delilah, you remember what happened? Every time when they would call on Samson, he would jump up and he would break forth and he was a mighty man. But he never knew that the power of God had left his life until he needed it at the most in his life. And when he called out to God, that power was gone. He thought he could do it like he always did. When you quit praying, you lose power. When you quit praying, you lose what God has given you, and you don't need to lose that power this morning. We've been known as a praying church, and we need to always be known as a praying church. You say, preacher, just problems arise when you ain't praying. Problems are going to arise when you do pray and when you don't pray. The only difference is you got help when you do pray. I see not only that I got this, let's just wing it, but here's the shows that there is pride. There is no need to consult God. He sent the spies but never sent up a prayer. Folks, can I say to you this morning, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying when problems arise. Don't stop praying when the old devil tries to put pride in your life. And I want you to know, when you stop praying, pain will arise. When you quit consulting with God, there's going to be pain in your life. Folks, can I say to you this morning, you keep praying to God. You keep seeking God. You keep talking to God. Let that be in your life. Look with me in verse number 4, in verse number 5. You say, what happens when I stop praying? When we stop praying, this is what happens. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. Not near the men he sent before. Not near the men he sent to battle before. And now he has sent about 3,000. And they go up, and the men of Ai smote them, 36 men. Because one man didn't consult God, it cost 36 men their life. Because one man wouldn't pray. Because one man didn't get a hold of God. Because one man didn't know that sin was in the camp. It cost 36 other men their life. You never know when your prayer is going to save somebody's life. 36 men died. Look what he said here in verse number 5. And they're going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted. Not only did 36 men die, but the heart of the people started melting. When people quit praying, the people's hearts quit melting. They don't get where they need to be. But not only that, Joshua starts to put the blame on God. Here's what Joshua did in verse number 7. If you'll look with me this morning, he starts putting the blame on God. Hey, God ain't got a problem. He handles problems. And then he starts blaming God. He said, God, we wished you'd have left us over yonder. We wished you wouldn't have delivered us. We wished you wouldn't have brought us out. Look with me, if you will, in verse 6. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening tide, he and the elders. Too late to pray now. The damage has been done. What do you need to do? You need to get up. Look what he said. He fell on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening tide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou all brought these people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwell on the other side of the Jordan. And here's what he said in verse number 8. Get this morning. Here's what he said. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what will they do unto thy great name? He said, listen, we got a problem. We've had pride and now we got pain. He said, what are we going to do about your great name? Can I say to you this morning, don't worry about God's great name. He's got his name. Woo, glory. 36 men died. Their hearts melted. Joshua starts putting the blame on God, and God doesn't have a problem. He only handles the problem. Now, here's what I want to show you in this. Not only when you stop praying, problems arise, and you don't know it. Not only when you stop praying, pride raises up, because that shows we don't need God. Not only when you start praying, pain arises, but I want you to notice this. This is the key thing in this whole text. I want you to notice the pronoun that arises. Did my homework. The pronoun that arises. Look in verse number 11. Have you ever said, well, that ain't none of my business. I'm not getting in it. Look what he said. Verse number 11. Achan is took of the accursed thing. Ain't nobody praying. There's got a problem. They've got pride. They've got pain. And now they're all caught up in it. Look what he said. Israel hath sinned. And they. One man sinned. You know who's talking here in verse number 11? God. One man sinned. One man messed up. And it's going to cost a whole bunch. One man sinned. One man messed up. And everybody's fixing to be punished by it. You say, preacher, that ain't how it is. That is how it is in a local body. We're all the body of Christ. When one stops praying, when one starts doing what they're called to do and live any old way you want to live, it'll cost a whole bunch. Look what he said. That Israel has sinned and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have been taken of the accursed thing and have also stolen and dissembled it also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Man, I have thought about this. I want to give you this. I want you to notice one person's sin in the church affects everybody. One person's sin. You say, well, it don't bother me. Oh, yes, it does. Let me tell you how it bothers you. After I had my heart surgery, I had to start eating fruit. I cull some, eat some, just depends on what it is. Apples and bananas, I ate my weight in it. That's good. Peanut butter every once in a while on it. But I've learned something about that rotten apple and that rotten banana. We've got a little thing at the house and it sits like this. And it's got a tear on top of it. And you can take them apples and you can put them there and you can put the bananas wherever you want to put them. And them things look just as good as ever. But if one apple starts rotting, then Brother Eric, one apple gets a spot on it. One apple gets a blemish. You know what you got to do with that apple? You better get it out of the whole bunch. You better, hey, listen, you better get it away. You may spend $12 on a nice big old bag of apples over at Sam's. And they look good when you get them and you get them home. And you get them in there, Brother Brent, and you get them laid up there. But listen to me. If one of them has got a blemish, one of them has got a spot, one of them is rotten, you better get it away from the rest of them. If not, the rest of them is going to get rotten. That's the same way it is in the house of God. You got one rotten person amongst you that says they're saved, that says they're a Christian, that says they're right, and they're living like the devil. It won't be long. They'll be contaminating the whole bunch. One man's sin, aching sin, one man. You say, my sin don't bother anybody. Your sin bothers everybody. My sin bothers everybody. And I cannot let it go on in my life. I must repent and get right and confess my sin before an almighty God. Achan didn't do that. And you know what it cost him? It cost 36 men their life because one man lied, because one man took what he wasn't supposed to have, because one man wasn't doing it the right way. Folks, can I say to you, Israel was a whole unit, and this body is a whole unit. We're a whole unit. When you hear one preacher get on TV and they get caught for child molestation, you know what it does? It puts a blemish on everybody's reputation. Everybody that's a Christian, everybody gets a blemish. You let one Christian get drunk, have a wreck, and kill somebody. It blemishes everybody's record. It blemishes everybody that calls himself a Christian. We must come out from among them and be separate because we're separate. It affects the whole bunch. So you know what I do? I get home, Brother Jerry, and I get them apples out. And if Ryder gets one and he drops it or beats on it, I have to cull it too. Because it won't be long. It don't take but just one little spot, one little hit, one little blemish. It'll just affect the whole bunch. So what I do when that apple's got one little spot on it, I don't just throw it away. Blade's a little dirty, ain't it? I take that blade, I don't wash it neither. I ain't got time to wash it. I take that blade. Y'all think I'm crazy. When I'm sitting there eating that apple 5:30 in the morning, I'm thinking about this. I'm just not going to throw the apple away. It would be of no use, of no value, wasted. What do, preacher? I take that knife. I take that rotten spot. I cut that bad boy out. I throw what's rotten away, and I eat what's good. Somebody here this morning, you got something rotten in your life that you need to let the Holy Spirit cut out of you. Throw that rotten away. Throw that bad away. Throw that no good away. And let God have what's good in you. What He's put in you, let Him have His way in your life. You said, preacher, it don't matter. When one person sins, it affects everybody in the church. You can't get away from it. You can't escape it. You let something go on bad here, it affect the whole church. You let something go on good here, you'll never see it on the TV. It'll never get publicized. All these baptisms we had, you ain't seen that on WTVA. But you let something go on wrong around here, we'll be on WTVA and WCBI. Why? Because they don't want good news, they want bad news. Let me show you this, what one sin does. Man, it affects the whole bunch. The one person sinned here and all was affected by it. Israel was considered one body. What we do as a Christian affects the whole body. One person grows cold, it affects the temperature of the whole body. One person grows cold, it affects the temperature of the whole body. One person grows callous, it affects the whole body. You get cold, it affects who's sitting beside you. It'll affect it. You don't believe me? Trust me. You go in and you sit down by amen and Les Carr, won't be long ago, Jay, you'll want an amen. You don't even know what he's amening, but you want to say amen too, just because you just get in, because the heat that's radiating off of you. But you go in and sit down beside Nancy. Hope nobody ain't named Nancy around here. And she didn't even want to be here. She didn't want to come. And she's eat up and sin and wish she wouldn't even at church. And she comes in with an attitude. She comes in with a problem. She comes in looking to complain. And she sits on her hands. And she wouldn't lift them if Jesus Christ himself come in. Listen to me. You sit by her very long, and you'll have your hands under your britches as well. You'll be sitting on your hands. That same one that was on fire, you let that cold, sour, stinking spirit get beside you, you'll be cold and sour and stinking. One person's sin. One person grow cold, the whole bunch will get cold. One person grow callous, the whole bunch will get callous. Let one person start complaining, you'll have a whole crowd complaining. Folks, you say, what is that, preacher? What I do and what you do affects the whole bunch. I told them this morning, I preached over there about being overcomers and why we don't overcome in the name of Jesus, why we let sin in our life. Number one, it's because we're not born right. You're not born again the right way. You're not born again by the Spirit. You're not born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. You went through some baptistry, or you spoke in a tongue, or you've done something. You think that's salvation. Friends, that's not salvation. Salvation is by the blood of Jesus Christ. You add nothing to it, and you can take nothing from it. It is the blood of Jesus. It's because we do not overcome and we live in sin because we're not born right. We've been taught when you get saved, live any way you want to and you'll go to heaven. I'm your preacher and I'm telling you, if you got saved and you're still living any way you want to, you will die and go to hell. Because the book never says get saved and live any way you want to. The book said there's a change in a person's life. It's because we've not been born again. It's because we don't believe right. It ain't only that you've not been born again, but you've not believed right if you can waller and get in sin. Listen to me. Don't let sin come in this church. Don't let sin come in here. You repent, you get right. You get right with an almighty God. That's my prayer. We've not been born again right. Man, I'm telling you what. Preachers of yesteryears would have a fit what's going on in today. They'd have a fit. So, preacher, you act like you're having a fit. Somebody's got to. All I hear is preachers say, man, keep preaching. I love the way you preach. And I think, why don't you preach? If you ain't going to preach, sit down. Quit getting up there being an icicle. There's people's souls is in the balance. It's hanging in the balance. And all you're doing is leading them to hell because you're not telling them that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. They're not been born again right. They don't believe right. Folks, people don't believe right. I'm not talking about believing a Baptist doctrine. I'm talking about believing the Bible. When the Bible says it, it is true. You will not get away with it. The Bible says in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. What a man soweth, he shall also reap. If we let sin continue in this place, we're going to have nothing but a sinful place. Listen to me. You say, well, I'm a sinner saved by grace. You are, but you don't have to live in sin. Brother Bradley Blaylock is sitting back here. He knows what sin is. He's a cop. He locks people up all the time because they broke the law. All the time. I told him this morning, never, never should a preacher have to go to jail and talk to a church member who's been locked up for drugs. Never, never should a church pastor have to go to jail and talk to a church member that's been locked up for drinking. Never. I should never be munching. That's sin. It's still sin. It's wrong. They've not been born again right. They don't believe right. They believe they'll do anything they want to do and heaven's going to be their home. Folks, that's not the Bible. And I plead with you today, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Don't let the devil have you and your family. Don't stop praying. They don't believe right. And you know what's wrong with, and I'm part of the body of Christ. They don't behave right. That's what I preached this morning. They're not born again. They don't believe. They don't behave right. Folks, you listen to me. If you're a child of God, you ought not just fly off the handle and get angry and mad and cuss and scream and kick and stomp. No, there ought to be something different inside of you. There ought to be something different. And if you've done something, you ought to be able to get to a place of repentance and ask God to change you. Folks, I'm telling you right now, we're in a mess as a world. We're in a mess as a world. We're in a mess as an association, man. I'm telling you. We got 6 to 8 churches right now, unless they've been filled, ain't even got a preacher to stand in the pulpit. And the ones they do got, they want to run them off. And that may be the case here, I don't know. But I know one thing, this church didn't call me, God called me to be a preacher. They may have called me to be their pastor, but I've been called by God. I've not been called because my daddy was a preacher or my mama or my papa went to church. We didn't have no pedigree. All I did is got saved and got a Bible and got a burden for lost people. And that they need to be saved and born again and washed in the blood of Jesus. And when you get saved, you start believing that Bible. And you start behaving right. You start behaving right. You clean your act up. You behave right. Aiken didn't behave right. And it's costing every one of them, Brother Perry. Aiken didn't behave right. And it's costing every one of them. Folks, I'm listening to you. Listen to me. Every one of his kids, his wife, everybody's fixing to get stoned and killed. Every one of them because one daddy sinned. Every one of them's fixing to get stoned. They're fixing to take them in the Valley of Achor, A-C-H-O-R. And fixing to kill every one of them. Every one of them because of one daddy. Because of one daddy that says, sin don't hurt. Feels good, preacher. Man, it's pleasurable. Yes, sin's fun for a season. But it's fixing to cost. What he thought wasn't going to hurt nothing. His wife's fixing to be killed. Stoned. Burnt. Ruins of heat, the Bible calls it. Fixing to be stoned. Killed. His kids, little kids, ain't got nothing to do with it, brother. They are innocent. The Lord said, destroy them all. He said, preacher, you think that's going to happen? You listen to me. When he returns and he busts them eastern skies, he's going to destroy it all. He's going to wipe it. When he raptures this church, the church out, not this church, but the church out, the ones that are born again, washed in the blood, when he raptures us out, he's going to destroy it all. And that one that mocks him and spits in his face, oh, hell have no fury when he busts them eastern skies. He said, preacher, is it that big a deal that I pray? Yes, it's that big a deal that you pray. Is that big a deal? Daddy, is this that big a deal that you behave yourself and act like a Christian? If not, quit calling yourself one. Behave like one or quit calling yourself one. You say, preacher, that's awful blunt, man. That's the world we live in. You go to the doctor, you want to know a true, you want to be narrow-minded and straightforward. And the doctor ain't near as serious as your soul. I'm going to share with you one more thing. Because of one man's sin, they all in it. They all hung up in it. I wonder who I'm talking to right now. You know if it come out on you right now, your whole family would be ashamed. If it come out, your whole family would be ashamed. You'd have to duck your head. Why let it get there, preacher? Why let it get there? Why let it get there? You won't believe what I hear. I go preach my heart out like this anywhere I go. Went to men's breakfast this morning. I don't preach different there than I do here. And I've had grown men tell me this, Travis. They said, man, I wouldn't tell all that about your past. You got kids, you know, and that's going to embarrass them. I want them to know my past. I don't want Travis telling them my past. I don't hide from my family. I don't hide from my friends. I don't hide from my faith. I'm an open book, written and read by all men. Like it or not, if you're a Christian, you're written and read by all men. They're watching you. They're reading you. And I want to ask you a question right now. What could be in your life this morning? You said, preacher, I need to get right with God on it. I'm a man of God, but I just ain't where I need to be, man. Man, I'm telling you what. I just ain't, man, I got sin in my life. Is it going to cost my family? I guarantee it's going to cost your family. It's going to cost your family. Just as a man of God lives for God and does what God's called him to do, and God blesses it, you quit living for him and see what happens. Let me show you this as we close right here. Let me show you this. Ecclesiastes 9:18. Will you please put that up there, Brother David? Notice that we're all involved. Ecclesiastes 9:18, the Bible says, wisdom is better than weapons of war. But one sinner destroyeth much good. Let me read it to you again. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Man, all that goes on good around here, man, kids getting saved, had 9 baptisms, got several more to go. Man, all that's going on good. Man, got the thing coming up for Easter extravaganza. Man, it's good around here. It's good around here. But I don't want to preach this when it's done went bad. I want to preach this when God gives it to me. Why? It's going good, so we don't let it go get bad. He said, preacher, you're going to run people off preaching like that. It's Bible. It's Bible. It's Bible. It's Bible. I wrote this down. I'm going to give it to you. You said, preacher, what I need to do to get right? I know I'm saved. I know I'm a child of God, but I keep flirting with stuff that I don't need to be messing with in my life. What do I need to do to get right? Satan tells you it's hard. Simple. The easiest thing to do is to repent. But it's the hardest. There's not a person in this room can honestly say that I have nothing to repent over. I have nothing to repent over, preacher. You're in trouble if you don't. There's somewhere in my life I've come up short. Prayer and repentance is simply an honest conversation with God. Not just thanking Him or requesting Him from Him, but it's a two-way conversation. Right now, our security guys has got on what we call a two-way radio, Brother Brian. Is that correct? It's a two-way radio. When Brother Brian and them did the security, they didn't buy one-way radios. What good would it be to be on security with a one-way radio? We got problems. They can't talk back to you. They bought two-way radios so they can talk to one another. You've got a two-way street to God. Not only do you talk to Him, but that same, He talks to you. It's a two-way street. Where we listen as well. If Joshua would have prayed, he would have realized there was sin in the camp. Galatians 6:7 said, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. If you keep reading this, and we may go over it tonight, I don't know. But if you keep reading this, God knew who had it. Joshua did not know at this time who's got the accursed thing. He don't know. Joshua's fixing to have to go from tribe, right? He's got to go to the tribes. Then he's got to come down. And then he always come all the way down to the dads. He comes down to the men. The men's got to give an account. Joshua don't know who's got it. And Achan's got plenty of time, Brother Brent, to say, hey, I'm the man. God's going to find you out. I sit here every week and tell y'all, God's going to find out. You can't hide from Him. And here's what happened. Joshua kept his mouth shut. And he sat there. And he sat there. And he sat there. And he sat there. He slept on it. It said it was hid in his tent. He slept on it. And he slept on it. Sleeping on it won't do you a bit of good. You got to confess it. And you know what he did? When it came time, Brother Shea, he confessed. But it was too late. It was too late. The damage was done. What'd God tell Joshua to do? Go get him. Get his wife. Get his kids. Get his oxen. Get everything he's got. Take it to the valley. And it said that the children of Israel came down to the valley and they stoned Achan, his wife, and his children and burnt them alive. How important is it to pray and be honest with God? It's going to cost you your life. I wonder who I'm talking to this morning and say, "Preacher, I ain't never heard that before." You hear it every week. Be honest with God. And I promise you, He'll be honest with you. As our musicians come, Father, I love you and I praise you and I glorify you. Father, right now, my spirit, Father, we're not in a playground, we're in a battleground. Father, you know my heart. You know my mind. You know my soul and you know my spirit. And you know, Father, that you love these people in this room more than I love them. Father, you gave your son for them. And Father, there's not nothing you wouldn't do to get our attention. And Lord, this morning I am talking to somebody that has quit praying, that has just about throwed the towel in. They'd just soon quit than to keep fighting. Whoever that is, man, woman, boy, or girl, I pray you speak to their spirit right now. Don't stop praying that you're here and willing to help. Bless your people during this time of invitation. And that one that's got a problem might even have pride or pain. Help them this morning. In Jesus' name. I ask you to stand.